Before I get started, I just want to say that I do not have all the answers. I don't claim to. And this is a very area of study that is intrigued me just recently. And I'm still going to be looking into this, as I'm sure, and I pray and I hope that you all will. This will incite that kind of hunger to seek answers from God. It may hit close to home for some of us in here. I just would like to ask that you prayerfully, what you hear today, would just prayerfully consider by God's word and the spirit of prophecy, and just ask the Lord for more understanding. This is a very powerful issue that is in our church, especially today. And I would gladly welcome your comments, especially criticism afterwards, critiques or anything. And I feel like this is a great place for me to do this. So that way, iron sharpens iron. That way, when I present this other places, if you all can see some things that you can help me to build this a lot better, I would greatly appreciate it. Once again, the title of this is The Pied Piper, Music in the Last Days. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, this is a very important and close to home topic. And God, I don't have the answers, Father, and I pray that you would supply us with your wisdom, and that what I present here, Lord, your spirit would bring it home and will take the parts that we need to hear, Father. And you would give us the inspiration and the leadership that we need, Father, in our own personal lives when it comes to music and music in the church as well as the world. Thank you, Father, for your loving care and for your wisdom and for the spirit of prophecy as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Satan is leading the young captive. Oh, what can I say to lead them to break his power of infatuation? He is a skillful charmer, luring them on to perdition. Now, how many of you remember the story, have heard of the story of the Pied Piper? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, there was a town that was infested with mice or rats, and they called the Pied Piper in. The Pied Piper played a certain tune on his pipe or his flute, whatever, and it attracted the attention of all the mice and the rats. They came out of the nooks and crannies, the bed, and wherever they were hiding. They heard the sound of the music, and they followed him out of the town. And some versions of the story, this is a very old story, you can even find it like in medieval times. Some versions of the story, he led the rats or the mice into the river or put them somewhere else. Anyway, what happened next? The town did not pay the Pied Piper. So he came back, played a different tune. And instead of the rats following him, all the children of the town followed the Pied Piper, and he led them on to perdition. Question, is Satan using music today, having us dancing to his tune? If so, where is it leading to? Where is he leading not only us in the church, but is the world as well? Where is it going? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why do you listen to music? I'm asking you right now. Say it again, Gil. Makes you feel good. Anybody else willing to share? Why do you listen to music?
Entertaining.
Anybody else? Makes you
worship God.
To worship God. Maybe put you in that spirit to worship as well, right? Anybody else?
Change your mood.
Change your mood. Relaxing. I used to play sports in high school and middle school, and every time we had a game, we'd get on the bus. And we had the stereo playing, or I'd be in the locker room, and I had the headphones in my ears. Guess why? Because I was getting pumped up for the game. Sometimes I'd go to the gym, lift weights, and I used to listen to like heavy metal and stuff because, oh, man, I wanted to get those reps in. One time I was, I came from school one time here, and I went home, and I had a pretty disappointing week. I was feeling low. I was just low, feeling down. And I went home, and I played this song as I'm washing the dishes. And the guy started singing in harmony. Love led the Savior in days long ago. Down to earth's darkness its sin and its woe. He was yearning to find them and make them his own. Nothing but love led him to Calvary. It said, love for a manger, he abandoned the throne. Seeking the sinful, the sad, and alone. Yearning to find them and make them his own. Nothing but love. As these guys started to sing in the acapella and the harmony, I was washing those dishes. Tears started coming down my face. That song, I was listening to sermons all that week. But none of those sermons touched me as much as that song did. I walked in the house like this. Washed a couple dishes, heard that song, and walked out the house like this. I felt refreshed. I felt loved by God. I felt like I can do this. One song did that. Music is very powerful. Music has the ability to create an atmosphere. It affects, enhances, and can even create emotions. You're negative, you're bad, you're feeling sad, play a song, now you're happy and you're ready to go. Music has the power of inspiration and imagination. Just the soundtrack, just an instrumental of a song can take your mind certain places. This is what Andrea Bocelli said. As a baby, music would stop whatever thought I was having. If I was worried, it would stop me from worrying. If I was crying, it would stop me crying. Music was a healing thing for me. Now, a little bit of my history with music. What that guy is doing in that picture is exactly what I did. I lived to make beats and produce beats and hip-hop and rap beats. I would just smoke and do drugs, get my little keyboard, my program, and make music 24/7. And so I'd have all the guys come over. We'd have the mic in my house. We would rap. We would rhyme. And I'll tell you one thing. We would play instrumental rap hip-hop beats. And as we would freestyle, meaning we would just make up the rhymes as we're going, freestyling over these beats. Now, I would listen to these beats, and I would close my eyes, and I would feel the beat. And I would literally fall into the beat, and I would feel like I'm one with the beat. And that beat would speak to me. And if the beat sounded like, oh, this feels like trials and tribulations, or it feels like hard times. And so the type of rhymes that have come out of my mouth would be about trials and tribulations and hard times because the beat gave me that inspiration. If I heard the beat and it sounds like, oh, this beat feels like the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, it feels like a happy beat. So guess what I'm rhyming about? I'm rhyming about going to the beach or to the barbecue or something like that. The music in and of itself spoke to me. The more I felt the beat, the level of my inspiration will rise. So when I hear people say that, hey, Christian rock, Christian rap, and all these things, it's okay. The music doesn't matter. It's just about the lyrical content. Me, from my past, immediately flags go up. Because the music was everything. The music spoke more, if anything else. I like what this guy had to say. When words leave off, music begins. You know, music is the language of the soul. You've heard that, too. This is what Aristotle said. Music has the power of producing a certain effect on the moral character of the soul. Aristotle knew this. This is so back in the days, he had a sculpture of him, not even a picture. Effect on the moral character of the soul, and it has the power to do this, and if it has the power to do this, it is clear that the young must be directed to music and must be educated in it. Now, there are so many different genres of music nowadays, literally thousands. Now, whatever it's rock, pop, R&B, jazz, country, whatever. Now, R&B, just for an example here. If I were to play an instrumental, R&B instrumental in here, no music, no vocals, just the instrumental. Think about it. How would you feel? Now, hold on. What if I put the curtains over here, dim the lights, put a couple candles up in here, and then play some R&B instrumental? How would you feel? Romantic. Probably be very inappropriate, especially in here. Some of us may have flashbacks of a previous life, and carnality start rising up in some of us just from the music and atmosphere. What about heavy metal? If I were to play heavy metal instrumental music, no singing, no vocals, just dun, 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 guitars and drums in here right now, how would you feel? You'll be out of here. How would you feel, brother? You have a headache. Turn it off. You know, at PUC, I came up with my own little survey. I was asking students, faculty, and staff. And I asked them these questions. I said, do you have a problem with Christian rock and Christian rap? 99% of them said, no, we don't have a problem with that. But when I asked them this, do you have a problem with Christian heavy metal? 99% of them said this, absolutely. And I said, why? They said, these are the responses I got. It's too chaotic, Christian heavy metal. It's too aggressive. It's just too overbearing. And I was wondering if they knew what they were actually saying. They didn't have a problem with the other ones, but they had a problem with that. And you know what I said to them? I said, but what if Christian heavy metal inspires me to just go work for Jesus? Who are you to tell me that that's wrong? And then it got me thinking, if Jesus doesn't come soon, the next generation after them is probably going to like Christian heavy metal, and they're going to be the old fogies like us, and they're going to like Christian soft rock. So on what grounds can one tell the other what? It becomes very subjective, doesn't it? Listen to this. Listen to this. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a mic and started rapping. He took the what? He started singing with the harp? What does it say? He took the harp and he played with his hand. And what happened? Saul was refreshed and was what? And the evil spirit did what? Music by itself. David played instrumental music. Saul felt refreshed, well, and evil left him. Music. The three kings and Elisha. The king of Edom, the king of Israel, Jerem, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, got together. And they said, let's bring the prophet of the Lord. Elisha came, and when he saw Jerem, the son of Ahab, paraphrasing here, he says, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even be in your face right now. But because Jehoshaphat is here, I'm here. And this is what he said in 2 Kings chapter 3 after that. But now bring me a minstrel. Now that word minstrel in the Hebrew simply means musician. Bring me a musician. And it came to pass when the minstrel or musician did what? Played. That the hand of the Lord came upon him. Listen. According to these texts, music was played and the spirit of the Lord came upon Elisha. Then he gave them instructions for the battle. Okay, dig some holes, fill it with water. The spirit filled him because instrumental music was played. David played a harp and evil was chased away. According to these passages, music is connected to the supernatural world. It is connected to the spiritual world. When music is played, now think of it. There were demons around Saul. When he played the music, was there a behind the curtains? Was there a titanic supernatural battle that took place between the angels and demons in that moment while he was playing? Maybe a Daniel chapter 10 scenario? Think about it. What we do know is that music was played and there was a supernatural response because of the instrumental music. It's connected to the supernatural world, spiritual world. Godly music. So a little recap here. Chases away evil. It refreshes. It makes one well. Godly music. And there it is. The hand of the Lord will come upon you. Amen? This is godly music. Now, if godly music can do that, can evil music do the opposite? Short answer, absolutely yes. Instead of chasing away evil, it can invite. It can speak to the sexual nature, the pride, the violence. Also, evil music can give you a sense of happiness and a joy and a peace as well. That's why it's a deception. If godly music can make you refreshed and feel well, you better believe evil music can do the opposite. Not only could godly music put the hand of the Lord upon you, but with evil music, a different hand will be upon you. Marilyn Manson, this Satanist here, says music is the strongest form of magic. He knew, and then he knows, the power of music over the minds of many. We see this in voodoo music. They play voodoo music, and this is a very ritualistic, you see this is demonic possession that takes place. with voodoo music. Now, I need you to get this one. Before I read this, let me explain the setting. It's so long. The next slide would tell you where I got this from. Patriarchs and prophets. Satan is having feelings of envy and jealousy against Christ. God calls all of the hosts of heaven together. And he establishes the position of Jesus in front of everyone. This is this scene. Now let's read with me. The angels joyfully acknowledged the supremacy of Christ, and prostrating themselves before him, poured out their love and adoration. Lucifer bowed with them. But in his heart, there was a strange, fierce conflict. Truth, justice, and loyalty were struggling against envy and jealousy. The influence of the holy angels, listen to this, seemed for a time to carry him with them. As songs of what, everyone? As songs of praise ascended in melodious strains, swelled by thousands of glad voices, the spirit of evil seemed vanquished. Unutterable love thrilled his entire being. His soul went out in harmony with the sinless worshipers in love to the Father and Son. Did you just hear what happened? Let me explain it to you. Brother Lucifer had feelings of envy and jealousy against Christ. Angels started singing. He forgot about all that and starts praising the one he was hating because of music. Changed his whole attitude. He knows the power of music. Not only does he know the power of music, look at this. Satan had led the heavenly choir. He had raised the first note, then all the angelic hosts united with him, and the glorious strains of music had resounded through heaven in honor of God and his dear Son. Listen, folks. The choir director is here, and he's still directing. He has over 6,000 years of psychological expertise. The servant of the Lord says, from the time in heaven until now, the power and control over minds has increased 100-fold. And you better believe he's still using his gifts and abilities. The question is, are you aware of it? Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with what? Filled with the Spirit. Now this is how, according to this text, you can be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in, what's that word? Psalms and hymns and what? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. According to this passage, a way that you can be filled with the Spirit is by speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You will find that those three categories are scripturally based, based on the Word of God. Now let's listen to what Colossians has to say. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What does it mean to admonish?
Encourage,
advise. That's exactly what it means to correct, to counsel, to advise, to encourage, all those things. So listen, if I had the musical gift, which I don't, but maybe one day I will, and I'm up here singing, based on the Word of God, if my musical gift and my talent is based on His Word that dwells in you richly, this gift ought to be able to teach, counsel, and admonish as I'm singing or whatever I'm doing. This is the power of godly music, based on His Word. Now, the book of Psalms is the largest book of the Bible, right? And it's all music. You look in the top of the Psalms, they'll say, to the chief musician, such and such, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a psalm of Asaph, a psalm of David. All music. And it's all based on God's Word. Now, godly music chases evil away, refreshes. Now, incites to holiness and spirituality. Now, that comes from Counsels to the Church 172. I'm pretty sure that that's it. You can write it down and you can read more. Counsels to the Church 172. If not, look up those words and I'll help you find it. We like to have the spirituality in our music, but many of us don't like to have the holiness. Godly music incites to holiness and spirituality. Based on God's word, teaches and admonishes, reveals God's will and way. It makes one well, and of course, the hand of the Lord will come upon you. This is godly music. Amen? Now, that right there is a picture of a mall in Saudi Arabia. And that's the downstairs part of the mall. And I think I've shared this story with many of you, but I'll share it again. I went into that mall. That's the inside. Beautiful. I remember I was right outside that mall. This is before I met the Lord. I had my jersey on, my chain on, my rings, and I was in the hip hop, and I had my that thugged out spirit in me. And I walked into this mall. Outside the mall, I saw some Saudi Arabian thugs. And it blew my mind because I said, these guys are dressed just like me. I said, whoa, we're in Saudi Arabia. Last time I went to Saudi Arabia, very religious, strict country. I mean, was not westernized in the least. And I believe I explained how it is in Saudi. But when I went back in 2007, I was shocked. You know, they had McDonald's, KFC, and all these kinds of things there. Then I saw these Saudi Arabian thugs. But what shocked me the most wasn't that they were dressed like me. But as I was observing them, their spirit, the way they were talking with each other, laughing and giving each other five or whatever, I said, man, if I wasn't in Saudi, I would think that these guys are from any street corner in the United States. They had the same spirit as me. My stepmom came to my ear and she said, oh yeah, Tarek, we got MTV out here too. And that never left me because I said, you know what? These guys are listening and watching. And as a result, what does the Bible say? By beholding you what? You become changed. Now the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All I indulged in was this. That could be me right there to the left, but it's not. But that's all I indulged in. You invest in that, it'll invest in you. I can tell you so many times I would listen to my music, bump it in the speakers, my little broke Nissan Altima, but I had some beat in there. I had the woofers going. Pull up to the store, the guy's on the song is talking about how invincible, how tough he is, and how strong he is. It's filled with pride. Turn off the ignition, go into the store. I'm just going into the store to get a gallon of water or something. But guess who's the most coolest, invincible, toughest guy walking to that store just to get a gallon of water? Me. Music's off, but the spirit is full mode. And if somebody bumps me on the way as I'm opening that fridge, it's going to be problems. Because that spirit was in me. By beholding, you become changed. Now, these are some of the famous artists out nowadays. Now, I did this presentation once. In my days, it was the baggy jeans. But I don't know how that brother got a no skinny jeans. That's some serious work. But that's what it is nowadays. That took him all morning to get in that. But that's what it is. By beholding, you become changed. You know this quote. Sister White says, if the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong. And the thoughts and the feelings combined make up what, everyone? The devil is in the business of character formation, and so is God. If he wants to bombard your mind with thoughts and feelings from the music to create a character, God is in the same business of character formation. But the question is, where is it leading? What path are we on? Now, does somebody know who that is? What group is that? Before your time. I believe it's in the 50s. It's in the 50s. They are called, now I don't know if it's them, but I typed it up. I typed up Bill Haley in the comments. So I'm hoping that's them. You've heard of them. Just look at these guys for a second. The guys got all their suits on, they're all smiling and stuff. I think you know where I'm going with this. Setting you up. This is 1950s. Now, we went from that to this vulgar, satanic stuff in your face. We're raw in every way. Music has become raw in the world. And you better believe, church, if it's more raw in the world, it's going to affect the church as well. Jesus said that iniquity shall abound and the love of many will wax cold. You also may have heard that music reflects where we are as a society. You can look at the music of the 60s, the 70s, how people dress, talk, react, mentality, and things of that nature. But where is this all leading? There are two paths. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And only few there be that find that narrow way. And it will ultimately lead to this destination. Once we understand the end game, the mark of the beast and the seal of God, everything begins to make sense. Even with music, whatever it is, what kind of deception, what path is it leading on? Now let's talk about worship now in the church. Because what affects the world, things are changing in the church as well. Now hang in there with me. Hymns, soft rock, heavy rock. I put acceptable there. Here's what I mean by that. You can play hymns in most churches throughout Christianity, Christendom, and you will find that most people, if not all of them, would say hymns is acceptable to be played in the worship service or in church. Now get this. Young people may feel like it's boring or whatever, but they will still say that it's acceptable. Meaning, if you play the old Rugged Cross, it's not going to give you a flashback of your former life in the club or in the bar. It's not going to bring back feelings of aggression and lust or anything like that. You play Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Hymns are acceptable to most people, standard worldwide. Heavy rock, like I told you, my little survey at PUC, 99.9% of the people said it is unacceptable. Christian heavy rock. It is just too intense. The battleground is that middle section with the softer kind of rock. This is the battleground of our church and in many churches. Focusing on our church, of course. This is the battleground of our church. This is where you get where people will say, okay, Tarek, you don't like the rock and roll soft music they play here? Then guess what? Go to the next church down the street and I'll go to this church. This is where we're at right now. I want to just offer an observation here. Hymns, soft rock, and heavy rock. You go to a church and you hear hymns, it's not going to affect you in a negative way. Soft rock category, this is where the church is divided. The red, pretty much everybody says that's a little too intense. I went to a church, I'm not going to name where, and after the Sabbath school was finished, they had music playing in the sanctuary. And this was just straight hip-hop music, like the same kind of beats I used to make. And I'm sitting in there in church, trying to keep my neck stiff, thinking of old rhymes I used to write when I was back in the world. And I'm like, whoa, because I'm not going to lie, those beats were just like the beats I used to make. And I said, whoa, I'm in church. I'm over here trying to fight for my life in church. I went to another church with me and my brother, and we were about to speak. We were in the back praying. And the youth had their little band in the front, and they were playing. And as we were in the back, me and my brother just looked at each other because we recognized the beat. The beat was from another worldly group that we used to listen to. And we're like, what? We're about to go speak, and now we're getting flashbacks of the bar and all these things. One more story. I went to this other church. These are all Adventist churches, by the way. I went to this other church, and the divine service, they were jamming in there. Man, and I had to give my testimony. I was sitting on the podium, and I was just praying, Lord, keep me in a bubble or something. Keep me. And they were jamming in there, and then after we gave the testimony, the Lord blessed. And after I had to do an afternoon session, me and my brother, we were in there, and the kids got up on the instruments. They started jamming again. And let me tell you, I could not focus, I could not concentrate on God's word at all. Me and my brother had to leave the church, walk clear down the block, so I could go meditate to prepare for the session. And I remember thinking, Lord, this is not right. Why do I have to leave your sanctuary in order to prepare? Some people would tell me, Terry, go to another church if this is giving you feelings of your past life or whatever. And I admit to you, I'm weaker than other people in that area when it comes to music. I am. But I have a hard time believing that Jesus would tell me, Tarek, go to another church. I also have a hard time believing that Jesus would give me flashbacks of the bar and the club. I am under the impression that the more pure the music is, the more elevated my mind will be. Now, I understand people struggle in that software category. But just a question really quick as we move on. What do you think will come before the hymn category to the left? Say it again. Psalms, absolutely. Psalms, hymns, and Denise, I think you said something. Heavenly music. This is my scale. I don't have all the answers. But you better rest assured that when you get to heaven, nobody's getting no flashbacks or nothing. And when you get to heaven, it's not going to invoke any kind of feelings of sexuality or anything like that. It's going to elevate everyone when we get there. Now, here's what we're getting. Anybody know who this guy is over here? Lecrae. Famous hip-hop Christian artist tearing Christianity upside down. Everybody loves this guy. Even up here at PUC. Who's this group? Hillsong. Anybody heard of Hillsong? If you heard of Hillsong, raise your hand. I just want to get an idea. Wow. Hillsong is extremely popular. Not just in all, I don't care if you're a Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. This music has infiltrated in churches worldwide, not just Christendom, but in Seventh-day Adventist churches. The more I studied them, the more I realized I came to some revelations here. This is Lecrae at his concert. This is Hillsong. This is Lecrae at his BET Awards. Jimmy Fallon, he's at a famous DJ Sway freestyling, and this had another award at the BET Awards. Now, Lecrae would tell you that he's a sincere Christian and that, you know, he feels like he's alone in this industry of the world. He'll tell you that. And I listened to some of his interviews and things, and he seems like a sincere and a nice guy. I don't want to knock that guy, like, as far as that aspect. We could pray for him. But what he's doing, I believe, is absolutely wrong. He says he's a hip-hop artist. He will tell you flat out he listens to secular artists. He listens to Justin Timberlake and Drake and all these other people in the world. He listens to them. And we understand that by beholding, you become what? He is not above that power. What you listen to will affect you. He also said, the Bible also tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world does what, everyone? Now, I have a hard time seeing how the world is hating this brother when he is receiving all the awards and accommodations of the world. And I like to use this illustration, you know. I can imagine Apostle Paul, if he was a musician, and they called him to the auditorium or to the Colosseum in Rome. And they said, come on, Apostle Paul, come for the awards. And they open the letter and they say, okay, from the tribe of Benjamin, Apostle Paul. And he comes down and everybody's clapping for him. Emperor Nero's clapping for him and they give him his award. Paul, that was Paul standing by himself. That was Paul in prison. The more that we have the Spirit of Christ, and even through our music, it's not going to be with what the world likes. It's just not going to agree. I like what Spurgeon said. There should be as much difference between the worldling and the Christian as between hell and heaven, between destruction and eternal life. And I'm moving quick. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We are approaching the end of this earth's history. And Satan is working as never before. He is striving to act as the what, everyone? Director of which world? He is striving to be leading. The choir director wants to lead out in church. That's what else she has to say. We have more to fear from where? Within than from without. Now, I have a clip here of Hillsong. I wanted to play it for you in here really quickly so you can get an idea of the worship style of what goes in here. But I don't know if I want to play it in here right now. It's more, basically, if you go to the PUC Vespers, it's exactly the same. When you play this, I kid you not, I looked up one song. It's called I Surrender. And I didn't go hunting for Hillsong. I just hit one song, and this is it. If you want to hear it afterwards, I'll play it for you. And it's very hypnotic. It's about 11 minutes long, and it's repetitive throughout. I surrender, all throughout the song. And in this concert, it's like thousands and thousands of people, and they all have their hands up. It's very experiential, very emotional. You step into that place, you're going to feel all the thousands singing, lifting up their hands. Very charismatic, this style of worship. This is becoming very, very popular in Christianity today. Ellen White says this, though. Not once should feeling be allowed to get the mastery over judgment. Not once. And the reference is coming up. There is a danger of those in our ranks making a mistake. Making a what, everyone? In regard to receiving the Holy Ghost. Many suppose an emotion or rapture of feeling to be evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. She says that this is a mistake. When we go to church services and it's very emotional and caught up with feelings, to make that mistake to saying, hey, the Holy Spirit is here. I like the story of Elisha. After the fire came down, he was in that cave. He felt the fire. And the Bible says, but the Lord was not in the fire. The earth shook and shook him in that cave. And then the Bible says that the Lord was not in the earthquake. The wind came and broke the rocks off the mountains. And then the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. But after all that, what happened, church? A still, small voice. The Bible tells us to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Now, this is going to be the ultimate test. What your eyes and ears and your heart, what you experience, is it in accordance to what God has told us? Or is it are you in the realm of emotions and feelings? The Bible tells us that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. And the land beast, the Bible says, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Who is this first beast that comes out of the sea? Who does that represent? The papacy, right? Who is the land beast? Who does that represent? Apostate Protestantism in the United States, right? Are both of these quote-unquote Christian entities? Yes or no? Absolutely. The Bible says that all the world will wonder after the beast and will follow this system spearheaded by Christian entities. One side is going to say, we have Christ, we have the gospel, we have the Holy Spirit. Another side is going to say, we have Christ, we have the gospel, we have the Holy Spirit. But somebody's going to have the wrong Jesus. And that's not going to happen overnight. It's transpiring right now. The road is being paved right now. Somebody is culturing and has that climate of the wrong Jesus, wrong spirit, wrong gospel, even now. And we're wrapping this thing up. The tune is being played in our churches. Now, this guy, his name is Carl Lentz. He is the pastor of Hillsong Church in New York City. Hillsong is a huge organization. They're in Europe, they're in Australia, they're in New York, they're all over the world. And the founder of Hillsong, his name is Brian Houston. Matter of fact, for the sake of time, I'm moving fast here. You can look up Hillsong and type in CNN, Hillsong, ABC, NBC, and you will find a news report about who Hillsong is. This is the pastor. He got on his jacket, Hustle. He's very famous. He takes pictures with Justin Bieber, Kevin Durant, that's Jay-Z. Kevin Durant, famous basketball player for Oklahoma. He actually baptized him, and Justin Bieber and all these celebrities go to his church. You can see on the shirt, love thy neighbor, and all. We're getting somewhere. I want to play this clip to you real quick.
As we're going on this church,
I guess it doesn't have sound here, but yeah, that'll work. Okay, where's the speaker right here? I just want to play this clip. I don't know where the speaker is.
I go into a church right here in the city in Irving Plaza. It's called Hillsong. And they have a pastor there named Carl Lentz. And from the moment I walked in the church, I said, okay, this is where they mean come as you are.
You just knew.
Because, now let me paint this picture for you. I don't know if you've ever been to Hillsong.
No.
You're probably going to want to check it out after this. It's a great church. If you go to church, I don't know if you go to church, but I walk in the spot. I pass a bar coming in.
You hear that? He said he passed the bar.
It's dark. Then I see like strobe lights, a stage, and a disco ball. They turn a club into a church on Sunday.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that really hit me like, okay, so, all right, this is very different. Let me go see what this is about. Then I start looking around in the crowd, in the audience, and I see like skater kids in the back with their skateboards and their skate gear in the back. You know, dudes over here look like they just came off of 145th. Like, yo, Poppy, you, I got that. You know, it was a different. It was in a real eclectic group of people. It was different.
And really come as you are.
And really come as you are. And then,
I'm gonna stop right there. This guy that's speaking, his name is Ja Rule. He was a big rapper back in the, 2000s, early 2000s or something. And he's describing his experience. I'm telling you, you can look at news reporters, regular people, celebrities. They'll tell you the same thing. I came into the Hillsong Church. They turned the club into the church. There was a bar. It was dark. The atmosphere, the setting, and the type of music that they play was very inviting for him and all these kinds of things. But I want to tell you, this is the modern church. This is not only happening in the world of Christianity, but it is in Seventh-day Adventism. These are some of the world's modern pastors. This guy right here is a Hillsong pastor. That guy right there married Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. This guy right here, Rob Bell. These are the modern pastors, and guess what kind of music they have in their churches? You guess. They're good with the Lecrae and the Hillsong, and not only that, church. You go into church, in our colleges, in our churches. Listen, folks, the next generation of young people are into this. Pastors, theology majors, the ones who are taking the baton. You go to church, they have the purple and the pink lighting on the stage, atmosphere. And it's based on emotion and feeling, and then the music, you got the band playing. And I kid you not, it dawned on me. I said, you know, I've been here for 3.5 years. And I said, you know what, when I started listening to Hillsong and all that, I said, this is the same song, same spirit, same theology that's here, and it's based off them, off what Hillsong. And this is popular throughout all of Christianity. This is within our church. You go to our church and we have this very charismatic style of worship now. Hands in the air and very experiential. This is where we're shifting from. And I just want to say this. The Bible says we're at war, right? Revelation 12:17. And the object of Satan, the director of the Christian world he's striving to be, the object of his attack, according to Revelation 12:17, is the Seventh-day Adventist church. It's not with ISIS. It's not in Syria. It's in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Because the Adventist church has been given a weapon that'll take him out. And that weapon is Jesus Christ expressed through the three angels' messages. You can't separate it. This is the war, folks. Within our church. Listen to these quotes, and I'm wrapping this thing up. In their efforts to reach the people, the Lord's messengers are not to follow the ways of the world. In the meetings that are held, they are not to depend on worldly singers and theatrical display to awaken interest. There is a desire to pattern after other churches, and simplicity and humility are almost unknown. The young ministers seek to be original and to introduce new ideas and new plans for labor. But when the excitement is over, where are the converted ones? Repentance and confession of sin are not seen. Very emotional and experiential. But do people come home and say, what must I do to be saved? Does it make you want to pick up your Bible and see what the Lord has to say in your life? The sinner is entreated to believe in Christ and accept him without regard to his past life of sin and rebellion. The heart is not broken. There is no contrition of soul. The supposed converted ones have not fallen upon the rock. Music that they feel is spirituality, but it does not incite to holiness. When their feelings are aroused, they think they are greatly blessed. Some do not think they are blessed unless they are stirred and excited. The intoxication of excitement is the object they are seeking. And if they do not obtain this, they suppose they are all wrong, or that someone else is all wrong. Listen, I have family members who love Hillsong and are into that kind of thing. And it's as if that if they don't have that experience, they're not experiencing the Holy Spirit. Listen, you could just take a nice little walk down by Linda Falls with your word and experience the Holy Spirit. Back home in a calm and nice setting, you can experience God. Before the close of probation, Ellen White says. Has probation closed? Has not closed. She says before it closes, Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. So if we know before probation closed, music is going to be a trap, we should not ignore that warning. We should not. We know he's striving to be director of the Christian world in the church. His objective of the attack, and it's going to be a trap. A snare is a trap. You don't see it coming. Wrapping up. Music is the idol which many professed Sabbath Christians worship. A lot of people worship music as an idol, and they're not willing to sacrifice and let it go because it's an idol in their life. But this is the end of this whole message here. It is bigger than the music. You will notice, I wanted to ask you this question. What is the message? Churches that have this environment and this type of music, you will find you do not have that. I'll do it again. It's either that or that. Am I wrong or am I right? This type of environment does not have these kinds of messages. It's something about these messages that will not permit this to happen. Because this reveals what this is all about. In our churches, family, this is what we're modeling after. But you will also hear, you won't hear this. You will not hear the everlasting gospel. You will hear, come as you are, stay as you are, justification, but you will hear nothing about sanctification. Victory over sin, you might as well throw that out the window. Babylon is fallen, the wine, the sanctuary, investigative judgment, second coming. You won't hear these messages in the church. Then you got to ask yourself, hey, it said Seventh-day Adventist on the sign. They even have Seventh-day Adventist hymnals in the pews. But are you in a Seventh-day Adventist church? The answer is no. You are not in an Adventist church. You are in an evangelical church with an Adventist name. That's what you're in. You are in a church that preaches, neither do I condemn thee, but it doesn't have the go and sin no more gospel. It's not, it's 50% gospel. You got to have the whole complete package. And this is the end. I always end off with this quote here, where she says, no one will be held excusable who says I will no longer have anything to do with these special messages. I will preach Christ. No one can preach Christ and present the truth as it is in Jesus unless he presents the truths that are to come before the people at the present time when such important developments are taking place. When you look at this voice and speech and song 325, in context, she's talking about the three angels' messages. And she's simply saying you cannot separate Christ from the three angels' messages. You cannot be in a Seventh-day Adventist church where you are dialing down these messages. And when you listen to the music and the setting and the atmosphere that is in these churches, you've got to ask yourself, where are the three angels? Last slide here, I think it's just two. This is happening next month, you guys. And I put this presentation together not knowing that this was going to happen in July. Next month. This is the actual article online. Pope Francis joins, I kid you not, in this presentation I just said I'm going to do Lecrae, the top hip-hop, and Hillsong, the top like soft rock. Pope Francis joins Lecrae and Hillsong at a historic 1 million strong together event in D.C. July 16th next month. World's top preachers, top musicians in Christianity, this ecumenical movement, they're all coming together next month, a million or so strong in D.C. Hillsong and Lecrae will be spearheading as far as the music goes for this event. I just wanted to share this presentation with you. And before I close out, I want to say this. I am thankful to be in this church. Although things seem very dim and grim and gloomy for our church, this is when Sister White says the church will appear that it's about to fall, but it will not fall because God is in this church. Amen. You know, I remember when Elijah was running away and he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. They threw down your altars. They disrespected your name. What did God tell Elijah? How many he had? He said, I got 7,000. He didn't know. He told Elijah, I got Hazael, king of Syria. I got Jehu. He's going to be the next king of Israel. And I got Elisha that's going to come help you out in your room. He let Elijah know a little bit of his plans. We have no idea what God has in store. I know 7,000 is a small number compared to the millions in Israel. But listen, God only needed one prophet against 850, and that one prophet, fire came down. When Micaiah started speaking, prophet number 401, that's all he needed was prophet number 401. 400 could do other things. God is looking for us in this room to be that prophet number 401 or prophet number 851. To be that one Elijah, Elisha, Micaiah, to stand, but with love. Because a lot of people don't know what they're into. And the simple fact of the matter is that we as a church, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Our young people in our church are not reading what God has given us. And if they did, they would see. So it just takes us to stand and to share what God has placed on our hearts. And that can spread as fire. We can be that 7,000 in Israel. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Lord God, I thank you that you have given us your word and biblical principles about heavenly music, Lord. I don't have all the answers, but one thing is clear, Lord, is that there is an agenda that is being fulfilled. And I know, Lord, that you have plans for us as well. And I thank you, Lord, for the counsels that you have given us. Help us to understand the world and the times we're living in, and more importantly, Father, what we can do to help. What we can do to sound the trumpet. What we can do to share what you have given us. Not just for ourselves, but those around us, Lord. And we're all pilgrims passing on through this earth on the way to glory. Lord, we need your spirit, and I thank you for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.